Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's day is August 31st, 2017. In turmoil, most just don't realize that, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. prophecyhour.com. Remember, you can always send prayer requests by United States Postal Service and by email with your return address and phone number so we can contact you. The request will be taken to Wichita Mission Church anointing, which will be prayed over and sent back to you at your request with no solicitations for donations. Or as my wife says, we just lose your address. We are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, live on YouTube, and on some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Incheon, South Korea, Athens, Greece, Auckland, New Zealand, Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, Mumbai, India, Vancouver, Canada. Of course, people may be undercover there. Who knows? Anyway, and of course, cities in the good old United States, such as Seattle, Washington, Washington, D.C. Boy, there's a lot of listeners in Washington, D.C. Anyway, Arlington, Texas, Charlotte, North Carolina, Toledo, Ohio. These are just to name a few, of course. Wichita, Kansas still remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcast later on tonight. Now a prayer, and we'll bring in tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, first, my heart really goes out to Texas and the surrounding states that whatever this storm may hit and hurt the people, Father. So I just lift them up in prayer and pray that our country heals from it and from all things that are affecting it. But, Father, I really pray for the victims of this storm. I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, tonight, is there a grand deception already in play? Would you be ready for it? Who knows? Tonight, we're bringing Steve Henderson back on with us. He served the last 30 years as a pastor, evangelist, and equipper in the ministry. In the last several years, Steve's been called in the arena of teaching prophecy. In fact, he has some really great prophecy videos that you ought to go over and check out at his website. His ministry, the Sure Word of Prophecy, has a mission to help believers understand Bible prophecy and prepare them for the return of Yeshua HaMashiach and provide an unarguable presentation to unbelievers that there is indeed one who knows the end from the beginning. It is his vision to share the prophetic word of the Bible with scoffers, agnostics, atheists, providing them with evidence that they need to turn them to a saving faith in Yeshua the Messiah. You can check out his website at SureWordProphecy.org. That's SureWordProphecy.org. And tonight, he is here to speak with us about the mid-tribulation rapture view and explain why it's so important to embrace the right view. So tonight, Let's talk with Steve about what he calls riding the storm out. Welcome back, Steve Anderson. Are you there with me, Steve?
Maranatha, Pastor Dan. Again, it's a real joy being on your Prophecy Hour radio. Bless you, friend.
Well, I always enjoy having you back on, and I was thinking about you, and you sent me that link for those really professional videos that you sent me, and I'm greatly impressed. But it was a reminder that, hey, it's I need to get you on, try to get you on at least once a month. And so, amen, I'm really glad to have you on tonight. And what do you think about Texas before we go any further?
Well, I'll tell you, friend, that's what why the theme came, riding the storm out. The country witnessed the unprecedented flooding and the enormity of the damage that Hurricane Harvey racked up. You know, I began to contemplate and draw some parallels to, you know, certain mindsets that I saw prevailing down there, as many were caught up in a dangerous Category 4 storm of the century, and how this very way of thinking will bring us up to the end of days, that some of the mindsets that were there when they got caught up in the storm. When the day comes, we may come up without a shelter when the devil's overwhelming storm passes through the earth. And, you know, Pastor Dan, people knew it was coming, and there were officials that in the state of Texas who warned that this could be a historical moment, that some places would be plummeted with, man, 50 inches, can you believe that, of rain?
Wow.
Along with 130-mile-hour winds, the eye of the monster storm moved into the state of Texas. Boy. But for many, you know, they'd been through other hurricanes in the past, and they got through them just fine. After all, they were saying to themselves, it's never as bad as the media puts it out to be. We'll be okay. But, you know that's not the case for all of them, and a lot of them were just in the path. A lot of very unfortunate things happened, and, you know, but they said, you know, we're ready for this. We went down to the store and bought a couple of groceries and water to last us for a week, just in case our roads are a little flooded for a couple of days. And this storm would be a big one, but, you know, it'll pass over and things will get back to normal. But what a wrong calculation, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say that, or I will say that, reports that I've been hearing from different people, and Stan Johnson, for one, which has Prophecy Hour down there in Texas, he's been hearing from people, you know, around him, because he's in Dallas, that the damage that is done is far worse than what that he can possibly see on TV. And so, according to him and others that have told him, that, you know, it's dramatically bigger than what we can even guess from TV or media. Back to you.
Yes, what a tragedy. You know, when the evacuation orders went out, some chose to stay where they were at, and I kind of wonder about that. The scripture, one of the Proverbs says, why foresee the evil and hide from it, but the simple pass on and get punished over it. But, you know, it's not like they're not warned. One official even said, if you choose to ignore the warning, please get a marker and write down your name and put your social security number on your arm, so when they find your body, there'll be a way to identify you. I mean, that ought to have been a clue to some, anyway. But, you know, a lot of them didn't have any way to get out, and they were bound up by circumstances. Many believe they'd escaped the storm's wrath, but little did most realize, instead of getting back to normal in a week, as some actually project it will take years to rebuild from this massive carnage. They planned for a sprint, a lot of them, but had not prepared for the marathon. And we're looking at years, from what I understand, of rebuilding, and the enormity of the amount of money that it's going to take to rebuild. And think of the people that are there now without job, no employment. They can't get down the road. They can't get out of their neighborhoods. There's some of them still in their attics, you know. We can learn some lessons over this storm. And I want to bring it down to a spiritual lesson tonight. And there's a prevailing mindset, Pastor Dan, in the Christian sector, very similar to what many Texans thought as they were, you know, they heard of the big storm approaching them. And, you know, I've been watching this perfect storm here on the earth developing on earth's rising, and yet a great majority, they see it too, yet they believe that they'll escape when it arrives. And one thing is sure. If one doesn't believe they're going to be touched by the storm, even though they've heard the warnings loud and clear, you know, many will find themselves under the water when the four winds of heaven let loose on the earth, and when the waves and seas start roaring, and when men's hearts fail them for fear of looking upon the things that are coming upon the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Oh, by the way, Sudan. This is Yeshua's forecast for our near future, and it is 100% accurate. So what are we doing about it?
Well, I don't know. Some of us are preparing, but, you know, because of this crazy misleading theory of pre-trib rapture and even mid-trib rapture, people are going to be totally unprepared. You know, good Christians will be totally unprepared. Back to you.
Yes, absolutely, brother. And I'm, you know, I don't like to pick on something that I, you know, I don't want to be a spiritual porcupine, but I believe that it's time to really seriously look at what the scriptures say about the lot of the believers in the end of time. You know, I recognize that many believers, they can't conceptualize that Yahweh would not allow his people to be touched by such a catastrophe, you know, such magnitude. But what makes you think so? I mean, I ask, where in the world do you get an idea like that? Don't you know, and aren't you not aware that Houston and the other surrounding cities underwater were full of churches? And how many times have you seen a storm pass through a town and a church was the only building in the area that had its roof blown off or even some leveled to the ground, you know? And remember, Yeshua recalling a Tower of Siloam where that fell on 18 people. And bottom line, Pastor Dan, bad things happen to good people, good God-fearing people. Just look at God's servant Job, or more importantly, consider the Savior of the world, the innocent Lamb of Yahweh, beaten, hung on a cross, naked, crucified, and consider the thousands of believers at this present moment that are burned alive, beheaded, tortured, and maimed for life because of their faith in Yeshua. There's a type of a name for this type of thing. It's called Great Tribulation. And can you think of a greater terror than having your head cut off by a dull sword? Or, you know, sometimes do a word search on Google and type in the words Christian genocide and see what you come up with. This is a present reality, brother, and I think it's high time to wake up out of our sleep. What do you think?
Yeah, you're hitting the nail on the head as normal. I was going to bring that up about the Christians being slaughtered and beheaded and burnt, and you covered it well. Back to you.
You know, they say, well, you know, Yeshua's going to keep us from great tribulation, but I just can't think of a greater tribulation than watching your wife get raped in front of you, and then you getting your head cut off on top of it. And these are truths. These are not fables that are coming out of the world. They're profound truths. And you know, many believers are convinced that before storms of tribulation hits planet Earth, Yahweh will whisk them away to the land of bliss. And all the while, the rest of the earth suffers enormous pain, agony, and great loss for those ones that are left behind. And the saints, well, they escape tribulation while the rest look down from heaven in a land of ecstasy, you know. And Yahweh catches his chosen so they will not have to suffer the enormity of the things which are coming on the earth. And, you know, I see in Scripture something so different. And I'd like to deal with that mindset. Pastor Dan, if you allow me to read something out of Isaiah 28 that kind of illustrates this. I'll start there, if you don't mind.
Okay. Go right ahead.
Well, the prophet Isaiah wrote about this very attitude, and according to the prophet, it didn't turn out too well for those who believed they were exempt from troublous days to come. And in this context, in Isaiah 28, it speaks of priests and prophets who, because of their positioning, they felt like they could do anything in Yahweh's sight, and not considering that certain attitudes have unfortunate circumstances. And so I'm going to read out of Isaiah 28 and see what the prophet says in regards to some of these priests and prophets who were actually in a real good spot, what they thought, with the Lord. But unfortunately, God has a different thing for them, as he says, "Therefore, hear the word of the Almighty, you scornful men, who rule this people who are in Jerusalem, because you said, 'We have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge passes through, it will not come to us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hidden ourselves.'" So here is a people who are saying, you know, we got everything down, and you know, we've got a covenant that we can escape death, and you know, and when the overflowing scourge passes through, it's not going to come around us, you know. You know, we understand what falsehood is, and we hide under that false fable that we're thinking about here. So therefore, says the Almighty, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Also, I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plummet. The hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters will overflow the hiding place. Your covenant with death will be annulled, and your agreement with Sheol will not stand. And when the overflowing scourge passes through, then you will be trampled down by it. As often as it goes out, it will take you, for morning by morning it will pass over, and day by night it will be a terror just to understand the report. For the bed is too short to stretch out on, and the covering so narrow that it cannot wrap itself in it. And the Lord will rise up in Mount Perazim. He will be angry as the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his awesome work, and bring to pass his act, his unusual act. Now therefore, do not be mockers, lest your bonds be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord Yahweh of hosts, a destruction determined even upon the whole earth. So let me paraphrase that in a different language. They're saying, you know, we've taken out good life insurance. We've hedged all of our bets, covered all of our bases. No disaster can touch us. We thought of everything. We're advised by the experts. We're set. God won't allow us to go through hard times. We are special. But Yahweh has something to say about this. Watch closely. I'll make justice a measuring stick and righteousness a plumb line for the building. A hailstorm will knock down the shanty town of lies, and a flash flood will wash out the rubble. Then you'll see your precious life insurance policy wasn't worth the paper it was written on. Your careful precautions against death were a pack of illusions and lies, and when a disaster happens, you'll be crushed by it. Every time disaster comes, you'll be in on it. Disaster in the morning, disaster at night. Every report of disaster will send you cowering in terror, and there will be no place where you can rest, nothing to hide under. Now, how about that for a word for those who think they are in touch with the evil?
Absolutely. The problem is we can't get most Christians, mainstream Christians, to go read what the prophet said and read what the warning is that's laid out in the Old Testament. They think it's all gone and doesn't mean anything. Back to you.
Absolutely. You know, if we can get them back in the book, Pastor Dan, to look, you know, and really take an honest look. Don't hide from the hard things. I think, you know, it's built in us to try to shield ourselves from the hard things, you know, because your life is full of hard stuff, man. And, you know, so you really don't want to read anything about that. But, you know, at some point in time, you know, especially believers, I think we need to recognize that what we have coming upon the earth and all of it, you know, and we can go down the list as we usually do, but we need to understand that we are facing an enormous day when everything is going to turn dark. And, you know, we're not going to be excluded from this. It's so clear to me. And, you know, in every circumstance in the past, when Jehovah's Chosen began to get comfortable, claiming exclusivity, a prophet would appear in their midst and warn them of their complacency. And, you know, unless they turned and put the Almighty in his proper place, obeying his every command, and judgment would soon follow. And horror, captivity, slavery, and death would enter the arena of those who believed nothing could happen to them. And after all, they were chosen ones, you know. But the next thing you know, in the wilderness, they wanted the flesh pots of Egypt. They weren't satisfied with what God was doing. So, you know, God gave them what they wanted, and a lot, but 20-something thousand died in a plague, you know, right away. And so I would like to go through several points, Pastor Dan, of why I believe this pre-trib, mid-trib rapture is a fallacy and not a fact. And maybe it'd be well for me to just review just for a second some of the things that I mentioned in my last program with you, of why I believe that the pre-trib or mid-trib rapture is a fable. Point number one is, if you remember, the scriptures do not set any precedent for the escape of the believers from the fires of extreme testing or even the possibilities of death. In fact, all through scripture you see were in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, where they were tortured and wandered around sheepskins, goatskins, and destitute, afflicted, and you know, some dying looking for a better resurrection. And nowhere in Christians' history do we find believers in Yeshua kept from violence and extreme tribulations of the devil's wrath. And there's story upon story. If you just look at something like Fox's Book of Martyrs, have you ever read that one, Pastor Dan? Anyway, it's a eye-opening book about what the believers have gone through, and throughout history, we find many have paid their life with their blood. And why do I believe the pre-trib doctrine to be a dangerous teaching in the Christian church? There's an ongoing and systematic and ever-increasing in tribulation and extermination of Christians happening all over this globe. So those who are mid-trib or pre-trib add and delete from the book of Revelation. And one of their teachings in as to why they don't believe that we'll go through the tribulation is that in Revelation chapter 4, there is a passage that says that tells John to come up to the to heaven and to see what will happen thereafter. And they read into the text something that isn't there. It doesn't say that the church is going up, but it's imploring John to come up and go into the heavenly sanctuary in the heavenly court. And up there, when he goes up there, he sees a throne, he sees 24 elders, he sees four beasts, he sees a multitude of angels, but he doesn't see the redeemed. In fact, we'll find here out of here in a minute when we go to look at a certain passage that while they're up there in the throne room, they're receiving prayers of the saints. And but remember the passage that is the greatest warning in the book, actually the 66 books, which says, I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book concerning Revelation. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in the book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part out of the book of life from the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. In essence, what the pre-trib rapture teachers are doing and mid-trib, in essence, they're ripping out 15 chapters of blessings and warnings in the book of Revelation and saying that it's not applied to the church, when in fact it was written as a revelation to the church, for the church, and gave the church a warning of the things that they would see after this. And not only are they taken away from the words of this special book by propagating they won't be here during those events contained within chapter 4 to chapter 19 of Revelation, but they also add to the book their own interpretation to substantiate their false teaching, which means when they say the church is going up to heaven, all it says in the passage is, John, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. So simply put, John sees a door open in heaven, and he's commanded to come up and be shown the things which the church would face in the future. And for you to say that this is a church, and then you go to the throne room, and you find no, the church isn't there, but in Revelation chapter 5, in verse 8, it's quite the contrary. It's very clear that the saints are on the earth while John is looking in the heavenly sanctuary. And in Revelation 5:8, it says this, now when he had taken the scroll, this is a lamb which grabs the scroll out of the right hand of the Father, sitting on the throne, the four living creatures and four 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, we see the throne room, and what's up in the throne room, no church there, but we see that the prayers of saints are being held up from the earth up into the heavenly sanctuary in golden bowls full of incense. What do you think about that? Anyway, in Ephesians 1, I want to let you know that when the saints are mentioned in the book of Revelation, you're going to find that the saints are greeted all through the New Testament, the children of God, those who are in Yeshua, by the will of God, are called saints. As Paul says to Ephesus in chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Yeshua by the will of Yahweh, to the saints who are in Ephesus. So when you see saints in the New Testament, when you see them in the book of Revelation, it is regarding the church. And also, you'll see another a passage in Colossians 1, verse 1 and 2, that says, Paul, an apostle of Yeshua by the will of Yahweh, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren who are in Yeshua, who are in Colossae. So very clearly, the saints are identified in in these two books, which are written to churches, and they're called saints. And so when you see saints over in the book of Revelation, and for those who propagate that the church is not in the book of Revelation chapter 4 to 15, I believe that's a tremendous deception, and we need to look at where you find the saints identified in the passages of Revelation. What do you think?
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back.
We're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Grand Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, first off, folks, I do sound a little bit different because I'm not ever able to go through my board and use my microphone. Here's a good example. A minute ago, I'm using this headset, and I was trying to break in and say it was time for a radio break and everything, but it seemed like our guest, Steve, we just kept on talking. Well, we were able to go to a break, and come to find out somehow the mute button on this USB headset got muted, and so therefore nobody could hear me. And it's a good example. We need to get our sound card and our equipment back into shape, because I need the microphone. I need to be professional again, because little things like this happen, and we don't want that to happen on our talk radio program. The devil works hard overtime against us, but we are still here warning you. So pray about it. Pray about supporting radio and supporting the Wichita Mission Church. Support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. Men, women, and children from all walks of life come to us for all kinds of reasons. We get no help from any organized churches or government agencies. I will not accept money from government agencies. We could actually get paid per head, per everybody we feed from the government. I will not do that because I do not want to be ruled by the government. We're ruled by Yeshua HaMashiach. That's where we're ruled by. So we don't accept government money. We care for minister for people in a part of town that most people won't even drive through. But where else should we be? Because we are the body of Messiah, and we should be among the sinners, should we not? Well, okay, so we do need your help to stay open and for radio. So why do so many people come for us for help? Well, love, that's the answer. They're treated as family. Beyond that, we have no guidelines like programs. The only programs I have are radio programs. People walk in the door and ask for what they need. That's the rule. And if we don't have what they need, we pray it in. This is why even the agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, their employees send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We are the last hope for so many. And, folks, we are all responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, again, consider a donation for radio airtime or for right now, get our equipment back in gear after that storm hit us. So pray about it, and you can donate online or mail a check or money order, all these different things. Find out the information at prophecyhour.com or call me. And now we're back with Steve Henderson. That is, Steve, still hanging on. Are you still with us, Steve?
Hey, Pastor Dan, sorry if I rambled. I didn't hear
you.
You know, when I stopped to pause to let you speak, I didn't hear anything, so I felt a little uncomfortable. Figured I better start talking again. I figured maybe someone...
I kept hearing you say that, and that's what Frank pointed out. He said, at least we had Steve on, somebody that would just keep talking. You know, and I said, yeah, I said that was great, but I kept saying, Steve, break time, break. And I couldn't figure it out. And after I got on with Frank, I started hitting the mute button off and on, and it came back on, but the mute button wasn't muted. And it's a brand new USB, pretty good headset from Logitech. But I just need to get back to my board and my professional stuff. And there's a $300 and something sound card that's standing in my way. But, oh, well, we're still on the air, and you were giving a very wonderful presentation anyway. So we go back to that.
Okay, I don't know how you signal with something going on your end, but if I'm going on and don't stop, try to maybe blow a harmonica in the microphone or something so I can stop.
It wouldn't that you wouldn't even have heard that. I'll turn you on to our we have a program that's a chat program. I'll send you the information on it, and you can download it, and you can communicate with me by chat. And that'll work. Anyway.
Well, we're going to have a plan B, I guess, huh? Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, brother. Well, what did Yeshua mean when he said, whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it? You know, I think we read these things that he says and really don't grab a hold of what the depth of what he's trying to say. And, you know, his disciples went out and he would commission them and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Every one of those disciples, Yeshua told Peter, you know, you're going to stretch out your arms at the end of days, and told him how he would die. And every one of them, except John, which wound up on the island of Patmos and received the revelation, the greatest revelation given to mankind for the churches. And I was speaking about how the pre-trib rapture people take out 15 chapters of Revelation and say that the church is not there yet. Throughout the book of Revelation, you find warnings. And if we're not going to be here, who are these warnings for? That's what I'd like to ask. Blessed is he that keeps his garments, that he may not be found naked. And this is during the time just before the Battle of Armageddon. What about these warnings that are found throughout the book of Revelation, which are warnings to the churches? Now, when the saints are mentioned in the book of Revelation, somehow or other, there's a twisted eschatology that says, well, that's the tribulation saints, yet they can't decipher between the 144,000 and the tribulation saints, and they twist things around to the point where they try to make it fit, but it just does not fit very well. You know, as Yeshua takes the scrolls, for example, and the scroll out of the Father's hand, and he starts to unloose the seals, there's a progression of judgment that's taking place on the earth. And, of course, the white horse that goes out, and the red horse where peace is taken from the earth, the black horse where there's an unequal balance in skills referring to judgment and unequal balances. The fourth beast where death and everything is taking place on the earth. And then there's a fifth seal, where the believers of Yeshua are symbolized as being under the altar, and they have been killed for the word of Yeshua. And they're saying, man, how much longer are you going to let this go on? And he said, well, you just rest a little season until the rest of your servants should be killed as the words should be fulfilled. Now, if we go over there to the book of Revelation chapter 20, we're going to find out that during this time of the enforcement of the mark of the beast, John saw many who received not the mark of the beast or worshiped his image, and they were beheaded. And hallelujah, they lived and reigned with Yeshua 1,000 years, and judgment was committed to them. When you go throughout the book of Revelation, you find these people called saints. In fact, if you go to Revelation chapter 7, there you find two specific groups in Revelation 7. First, you find 144,000 are sealed with the Father's name written in the forehead. Then you find another group who are dressed in white. Now, according to what John was told, that they're standing before the throne with white robes on, and then the question is asked, hey, who are these guys in these white robes? And he said, well, you know, John, these are ones who came out of great tribulation and may wash your life in the blood of the Lamb. And so very clearly, in the book of Revelation chapter 7, there is a great multitude that no man can number that came out of great tribulation. And brother, you can't come out of great tribulation unless you have gone into it, right? Or am I mistaken then?
No, you're not mistaken. Absolutely right.
And so who are these people, and how dare they say that the saints are going to be escape tribulation of this sort? They have to be completely ignoring a great majority of the scriptures. Paul says, we with much tribulation must enter in the kingdom. Now, I don't understand we're not in the big, great tribulation yet, but we're heading that way. In fact, I spoke of genocide. I got stories from here to midnight about contemporary believers that are going through extreme, extreme trouble. And, I mean, like I was saying, what greater tribulation can you have, even if you're facing God's wrath, where you're facing a sword and you lay your head on a chopping block and get it chopped off? I mean, this is taking place all around us. So, anyway, in the time of wrath, which the pre-trib rapture people say, well, brother, we're not appointed to wrath. And I'll quote that thing to death with you. But, the wrath of Yahweh is at a certain time. Now, there's Satan's tribulation, and it's going to get worse and worse. Just read Matthew 24 and Luke 21, Mark 13, and you're going to find out it's a progression, like a woman that starts to have a baby. And then the next thing it gets a little bit harder and a little more frequent. And, the love of many wax cold, and then evil covers the earth, and darkness covers the earth, the Isaiah says. And, but God is going to call lights to shine out in the midst of darkness. Arise and shine, he says, the prophet says. And the wise will shine as the brightness of the firmament, Daniel chapter 12 says. So if the saints are removed out of the earth, then how in the world is there going to be any light, especially some of them are teaching that the Holy Spirit is removed from the earth during this time too. I find that quite bizarre. What about you, brother?
It's real bizarre. Absolutely.
You can't come to Yeshua unless the Spirit draws you. And in the book of Joel, it says very clearly in the day of the Lord, he's going to pour out his Spirit. And I think that as it was in the day of Pentecost, in the latter rain experience of God's people, there's going to be another outpouring to not only just the first one was to germinate the seed, but the last rain is going to go out and to gather up the harvest. And so these people who are wise will understand and instruct many, it says in the book of Daniel chapter 11. And they're going to give great light and warning and hope in earth's darkest hour. And, they say, well, brother, we're not going to be appointed to wrath. Well, yeah, the wrath of Yahweh happens at the final few days of earth's history. And nowhere do you find where the saints are going to be raptured out 3.5 or 7 years before. Some of them say 3.5, some of them say 7 years before the tribulation happens. It's just not possible. If we are to escape the wrath of Yahweh, it's happening at the end, and in the book of Revelation again, it says in Revelation 15 that out of the temple came seven angels with seven plagues. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls filled with the wrath of Yahweh. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go, pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth. Now, it's very clear that there is a parallel of deliverance here that happened in the day of Exodus. Remember, just before Israel left Egypt, Yahweh poured out plagues on the land. And as a destroying angel came through the land, the ones who had the lamb's blood over their doorposts were delivered from bondage, and they made their way into the promised land. And these very same events will take place at the time of deliverance as the believers are ushered in to the kingdom and promised land in our future. In the deliverance of the plagues of Egypt, Yahweh's people were right in the middle of them. I mean, they were removed from it. And this is a shadow or a type of what will happen at the end at the seven plagues that just before deliverance comes of God's people. God did not remove them away from his wrath in Egypt, but he protected them in the middle of it. The plagues fell, and he just protected his people from touching it. And apparently, it will happen again. Now, remember what King David said when he wrote in the book of Psalms, this particular passage of scripture found in Psalm 91. David saw this day, and he said this: "You will not be afraid for the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes a new day. 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Only with your eyes will you see and behold the reward of the wicked, because you have made Yahweh, which is your refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. There will be no evil befall you, neither shall there be any plague come near your dwelling, for he will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." You see, it's not going to be appointed to Yahweh's people, Yeshua's people, to experience the depth of the plagues, but before deliverance comes, but they will go right through the middle of it, according to David, as he saw this end day vision. I believe what he saw there was the end of days. You believe that, brother?
Psalm 91, absolutely.
And, you know, so in the book of Revelation, we find these profound warnings. And, in fact, in Revelation chapter 12, we see that there's going to be a war that will commence in heaven. And we need to really look at this very, very seriously. Because when this happens, there's all kinds of things that the prophecies say are going to take place during this time. When the four winds are let loose in the heavens, they are going to fall upon the great sea, as Daniel declares in Daniel chapter 7. When this beast rises up out of the sea, this is at the same time, and in the context of a three-and-a-half-year period, when the devil will get together a beast power, and the first thing he's going to go to do is he's going to go out against the true believers of Yeshua. That is bottom line in Revelation chapter 12. It speaks of a time when there's a war in heaven, and then once the war commences and Satan is cast down with his angels, then the proclamation is given in heaven: "Rejoice, you heavens, and all that dwell in them, for the devil is gone from here." You know, now, but woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down upon you, knowing he has a short time. This short time, and when he recognizes that, he's going to get a beast together, a group of nations together, and he's going to enforce a lockdown and a plan. And if you don't subjugate yourself to this plan, you're not going to be able to buy or sell anything, and they're going to go out to exterminate you. As what the Bible declares in Daniel chapter 11, that there will be wise people during this time that will be instructed many, but they are going to fall with a sword by all kinds of ways. They're going to die. And in the middle of the book of Revelation, in the Mark of the Beast chapter, there are warnings. And you know, why the warnings, and who's going to get the warnings if the believers are going to be gone into heaven while the rest of the wicked, they're around trying to find their way around? Very evidently, there has to be messengers on this earth, and they say, "Oh, brother, that's 144,000. Well, you know, who is this great multitude that no man can number, dressed in white, that come out of great tribulation? In fact, when the war commences, the devil will go down, and it says very clearly that he's going to go after a certain group of people. He's going to go out against a woman and the remnant of her seed who keep the commandments of Yahweh and the testimony of Yeshua. So they're identified as people he's going to go out after. In the context, in Revelation chapter 12, two times in Revelation 12, it speaks of 1,260 days. So it's during this particular time frame when he's going out with a great rest, because he has a short time left. And then in the next chapter, actually there's not a chapter division in the writings that's put there for our convenience, but then he sees a beast standing upon a sea with seven heads and 10 horns. And if you notice what happens, at this particular time, Satan will give this beast its power, seat, and great authority. And when that happens, what does he do? He goes out to make war with the saints and, listen, to overcome them. And power was granted for him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. So, you know, if we don't realize that we are in the middle of this book, and that we are going to be the target and object of wrath, and the great wrath, not just wrath, but great wrath, brother, than what it says, which I believe is the heat's going to be turned up seven times hotter, like in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's day, when the test comes, or when we're given the option to either recant or be thrown into fire seven times hotter, what are we going to do? And if we don't believe we're going to be there, how are we going to actually have enough courage or spiritual life in us to really endure this day? Because he says, it's at the end, if you endure to the end, the same shall be saved. If we were going to be here, why would Yeshua give that commandment to us? He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Your thoughts?
My thoughts are, Steve, is you really are hitting the points just right on. I mean, there's some of the arguments that you've just given, I really never gave that kind of thought to. But looking at it, it's all the saints, the church, if that's what you want to call us, the ecclesia, is all over the book of Revelation and past that point where they say, well, the church isn't there anymore. But you're hitting it right on. Is this concept in some of your videos?
I made a part one on the rapture. I call it Left Behind, the rapture. It's on YouTube. But I have a second part that I'm about ready to leash out that actually goes a little deeper into their own arguments. It's really a very profound, in my estimation, it's really good, well put together. I hope to get that out sometime soon, brother.
Well, I really pray that you do, and let me know when you do, because I want to watch it and send it, and I want to send it out to my list so people can see it, because these are dynamite arguments. They're right on. You can't really dispute them if you open your heart and just read the words. They're just there.
We have to pray that the Lord will take the scales off our eyes, brother, because if we want to be honest with the Scripture, then we have to read into it what is there, and we can't read something into it that's not there. You know, there's an eisegesis and there's an exegesis, and I think that too many people read something like they do in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, and says, well, there you go, brother, the church has gone up from from the earth right there. Mm-hmm. Well, it didn't say that at all. And so they're adding to the Scripture, and there's a significant warning to these believers who do that. And, man, we better get things straight. And, it's a very serious thing to add to the book of Revelation or to take away from that book. And in the book of Revelation, and here we have the mark of the beast. Now, you know, this, in my estimation, is the most dreadful warning in the Scripture. In Revelation chapter 14, you find three angels' messages, and at the end, in the context of 3.5 years, there is going to be messages go out, and one of them is about the hour of judgment. As the gospel is going out to the end of the earth to every people, nation, tribe, and tongue, the hour of judgment is being proclaimed. Why? Why is it being proclaimed? Because the saints of God are giving a last final day warning to wake up out of their sleep and to receive the only hope that we have in earth's final days and in their darkest hours. Yahweh is going to stretch out his hand to those people at the last days to be able to see how many more he can save through their message. Now, in the three angels' messages of Revelation chapter 14, you find an exposure about Babylon and the teaching of what goes with that, and then there's a warning against receiving the mark of the beast. Now, in this warning, it says, if you receive this mark in your forehead or your right hand, the saints shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God poured out of his cup without mixture in the cup of his indignation. Now, that is a very, very serious warning. But who would be given that if the saints are gone from here? In fact, after you see the warnings, and they, by the way, they're found in Revelation 4, 6 through 12, I'm sorry, 6 through 11, right after you see the warning about the mark of the beast, then again, this group pops up again. And it says here, it's a patience of the saints. This is in verse 12 of chapter 14 of Revelation. Yeah. Here is a patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith in Yeshua. Now,
we're going to have to break in there, Steve. We are at the end of the program. But you're absolutely right. That's the identifying marker of the end time church. Those that keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yeshua HaMashiach. It's both. It's one thing. And folks, for you, that's the Old and New Testament. That's the whole book. Well, Steve, I'm really glad to have you on, and it was a really good presentation tonight. And sorry about the commercial thing, but anyway, but we'll have you on again, brother, and make sure you send me the new video when you get it out, because I want to post it to my groups. And folks, go over and visit him at where, Steve?
That's at surewordprophecy.org. And if you, I just posted those three new presentations. It's a three-part series, The Time of the End. The first one's The Time of the End, The Arrival of the Beast. The second one's The Time of the End, The Mother Harlots. And the third one is The Time of the End, The Abomination of Desolation. And I'm getting working on a fourth part, brother, because I couldn't get it in part three. So look for that here in the near future.
Well, it's a blessing. You're such a great verbalist, I guess you'd call it. All right, we'll talk again, Steve. You be blessed,
brother.
Bye-bye. Well, folks, that was Steve Henderson. Go to his site, surewordprophecy.org, surewordprophecy.org. Check out his things. And, you know, Steve's like all of them. I think he should take whatever I say and take it to prayer. What Steve says, take it to prayer. And make sure that you get our previous program that we did today with Charles Sasser. His book is a really good book. Anyway, we must remember, though, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua, HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Yeshua's return. Please, folks, always be a blessing to others. And pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church and radio. Lord our God, Father, King of the Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.